All right. I would like to introduce you to Jenny. The last time we saw her, she wasn't all this perky and something changed. So I want you to share with these people what happened, what God did for you, and then you can give them a demonstration. All right, there we go.
Glory to God. Hi, everybody. I'm sure everybody knows my testimony from the beginning, that I was healed from a back ailment, from a lung problem, heart disease, asthma, diabetes. And on the 1st of February of this year, I came, when the first service here, I had terrible pain in my legs. I'd been on the bed for about 3 weeks permanently, on and off. I couldn't stand for a long period of time. Terrible pain in my feet. One doctor says it was my nerves that had not shrunk, because I had shrunk 5.5 to 6 inches. My nerves hadn't shrunk. Other doctor says it's a bad blood circulation. When Rian called people out for circulation, I came forward. And while Rian was praying for other people, I was lifting my hands in agreement. And I think most of the ladies will know what I'm talking about. When you have an intravenous drip, and it's blocked, and they take that syringe and then they flush it out, and you just feel that swish of water down your vein. That's what happened in my legs. The swish of water down both my legs, and then the tingling, and the sparks, and the jumps. I went and I sat down, so I knew then, if it was that, it's been healed. But I went and I sat down again, but my feet were still paining extremely. And then Rian called out, he says, people with problems with their feet, charged forward. And needless to say, God is faithful. I was prayed for. I heard afterwards that I had a bit of a fight with some people. But fortunately, I cannot remember that. But God is good to this time. I've had no pain whatsoever. Because I've shrunk so much, the muscles in my back are still very weak. But I'm working on that with the help of my Heavenly Father. I'm working on that. I was down at the coast for 2.5 weeks. I used to use for my lung problem, I used to use a cortisone pump and an asthma pump. And the whole time that I was there, I walked into a room where they had sprayed this air freshener, but strong, and my chest went closed. That was the only time since April of last year, the 6th of April last year, that I had to use a pump to open up my lungs. Yeah. I give God all the glory.
Amen. And when I saw you there just now, you had some moves. There we go. Yay! Praise God. Yeah. Tonight she's brought her husband. She wants us to pray for him because he can't keep up. Yeah. Praise God. Henny? God is good, eh? Amen. God is good. God is good. And Yaku, you have a testimony to share. Please share with us.
Thanks. Me and my wife Lee, we've been coming here now. This is our fourth week. And Rian's been praying, preaching about prosperity and how to and what to. And you'll see that you must give to God. I did exactly that kind of thing. And I told him outside, when Sunday we were here, he said, scraping the barrel. But I said to him, you have a check that picks up the barrel and run. Our scraping is past that. Monday morning, wife's not lekker. Tuesday came and she was in tears. And I was struggling to sell a car to get some extra money, and that sold on Tuesday evening. I got money in my bank account. That's not all. A friend of mine, which my God laid on my heart to bring him with, he's here tonight. He helped and sold the car, and I got commission from his side as well. That's not. I had things that I got from the wife's aunt and everything that we're trying to just sell to get extra money in. That was sold, and on Friday, man said he paid me, but you always like in internet things, you're not happy. I stopped before getting here. The money's in my account. So I'm blessed.
Amen. God is good. Wow. You know, it's amazing. We serve an awesome God. Can somebody give me an amen?
Amen.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So guys, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to preach after somebody shares testimonies like that. But here's the thing, I need to teach you something. Right now, for those of you that's here for the first time, and I see that there's many of you, God laid on my heart at the beginning of this year to speak to people about prosperity. Because contrary to popular belief, it actually is God's heart to prosper us. Who of you are a father or a mother? And if you both come and see me for prayer. All right, okay, you understand. Do you want the best for your kids?
Amen.
Do you want them to go forward?
Yes.
Do you want them to be blessed?
Yes.
Do you want them to be prosperous?
Yes.
Where did you get that from? From your heavenly Father. Because that's His attitude towards you. And I want to ask you a question. Who of you, your children has disappointed you and they've done things to maybe hurt you, or anybody can relate to that? Just wave at me. Did you stop feeding them? Did you stop buying them clothes? Did you stop paying their school fees? Did you still love them? Did you still bless them? Guess where you got that from? Your heavenly Father. So don't let the devil come and tell you because of your past, God will not take care of you, or God is upset with you, or anything like that, because I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me carefully. The devil is very good at playing that game with people. You know, it's like, oh, you know what, God will do it for so-and-so, but they don't have your past. Or God will do it for that one because they weren't involved in the X, Y, Z that you were involved in. Well, listen to me very carefully. John chapter 8 verse 44 says that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. He abides not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And if you get this thing that speaks to you every now and then telling you that you're not good enough, or God doesn't want to take care of you, or God can't do this for you, or whatever, I want you to understand something. That is the liar speaking to you. And what he wants is he wants you to receive that lie, and he wants you to allow that lie to sort of grow in your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he shall be. This is how it works. The enemy comes and he whispers in your ear. I'll give you a stupid example. Our friend there is Lucas, ne? Yaku. Yaku was testifying that he needed a breakthrough this month. And he's been trusting God. And I think you told me that the vehicle that you sold was standing on your lot for 18 months and nobody looked at it. And how amazing is it that this week that he made a commitment to serve God financially, that car sold. Amen? But here's how the devil works. The devil will come to you and he will speak. He will, this voice will whisper in your ear. But the devil's very clever in how it works, because it comes in your mind and it sounds like your own thoughts. But it's not. Because when Satan speaks to us, he speaks in the first person. It's like this thought will come to you, oh, we're going to have a bad month. Oh, you know what? It's going to be even worse than last month. What does the Bible say about thoughts? Can somebody help me out? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 says, take captive every thought and make it obedient unto God. What does God want for you? God wants to bless you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Now that thought that's coming into your mind is contrary to the word of God, is contrary to the nature of God. So what should we do according to God's word with that thought? You should rebuke it. In plain old Afrikaans, shut up and futsak and dagatje. All right? You tell that spirit, I will not listen to you and I'm not going to entertain this thought. You put your foot down. The Bible says we have been given the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. You put your foot down and you tell it to go. Because here's what's going to happen if you don't. That thought will get stronger and stronger, and it'll have little thought babies. And your problems are going to get bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you are completely down in a pit of despair. You have no faith. You can't see your way through the next 2 or 3 days. And guess what? Then this stuff all starts to happen to you. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he shall be. So we need to take captive our thoughts. And that goes for everything. We were speaking about it, me and my group, we were talking before we came up here. People, I want you to understand something. There's no guarantees that you're not going to have bad days. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you have bad weeks and sometimes you have a bad year. But does that take God out of your life?
No.
No. You know, Jesus was the Son of God. He got crucified. Go figure. I'm sure that was a bad day for him. It was a good day for you and me. But it wasn't so lekker. And the run-up to the crucifixion, it wasn't so lekker. But did God let go of him? No. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And at the right time, if we keep going, the breakthrough will come. The enemy wants you to stop before you get to the end. The Bible says, they that run the race till the end will receive the prize. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, me,
I choose
to keep going.
I will not give up.
I will not sit in despair.
I will not let fear
rob me of my prize.
What God has for me
is mine
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand.
Amen. I can tell you one thing. There's a couple of demons in this place with headache right now. Amen. Yeah, God is good. God is good. All right. I want to teach you some principles. Let's just call these principles that govern the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has certain principles that will always be in effect. God doesn't even have to watch over them because he spoke them, they will come to pass. They have to come to pass. But if you don't know and you don't understand those principles, you can't apply them, you can't live your life according to them, and then you are going to suffer. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of
knowledge.
Not a lack of going to church, not necessarily even a lack of reading Bible, not a lack of tithing or giving or anything, a lack of knowledge. And that must be good biblical-based, Bible-based knowledge, godly knowledge. What good is it? God's word tells you exactly what to do, but you haven't got the foggiest idea how to do it. Is that going to help you? No, it's not. So let's give you some information that can help you. John chapter 8 verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall
set you free.
Do you know how many people are in bondage financially? Lots. And some of you are sitting here tonight. And don't tell me that it's not true, because I know it is. Do you know how I know it is? Because every Sunday night when we pray for people, at least 3/4 of the people ask us to pray for financial problems. So people are in bondage financially, but that's not where God wants your life to be. So now, in order to be free, you shall know the truth. Somebody has to teach you the truth. Let's hear some truth. Okay. Let's just talk about some of the things we've spoken about so far. The blessings of God for his children are not just spiritual. And what do I mean by that? You know, some people have this attitude that, you know what, I'm a Christian and that blesses me because one day I'm going to get to heaven. One day I'm not going to be poor anymore. One day I'm not going to be depressed anymore. One day I'm not going to have sickness and pain in my body anymore. One day I'm going to feel better about myself. Listen to me carefully. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not the gospel of one day. It's the gospel of today. Because when Jesus comes into your life, he comes into your life to change your life now. Not to change your life one day when you die and go to heaven. You know, there's a lot of Christians that have that mentality. Lord, please just take me home so I can stop suffering. How about you stop suffering now? Because God can make it so that you can stop suffering now. Maybe you need to learn a couple of things. Maybe you need to apply a couple of things differently. But you don't have to suffer down here. And you don't have to pray for God to come and take you so that things can get better. And if you are here tonight and that is what you've been going through, you've been praying for God to take you so that your life up there can start, you can feel better, then you're at the right place, because we need to pray for you. That's not the right way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is called the good news. Listen to me. I have good news for you. God can change your circumstances and he can start today.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's it. Bless God. I'm going to bring my earmuffs for next week. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 13. I want you to remember this. I'm going to show you how you're going to remember this. Take your index finger. Now look at you. You put it straight to your nose. What does that tell me about you? I'm going to pray for you later. Take your index finger. Put it in your right ear. turn anti-clockwise and then back clockwise, you've just started your memory. You'll remember fine now. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 13. And when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied. Ooh, listen to this. God is speaking to the Israelites about going into the promised land and the things that's going to happen to them. He says, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, God is speaking about how he is going to bless them. Does that sound like a spiritual blessing to you? I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to give you joy. We need peace. We need joy. But if you don't have money in the bank, it's a bit difficult to smile sometimes. Hello? The blessing of God extends beyond the realm of joy. It extends beyond the realm of peace. It touches your pocket. I was hoping you were going to smile at me now. That's good news. I mean, that's good news. Come on. All right? Listen to this. And when your herds and your flocks grow large, what is in herds and flocks? Money. It's money. And then he says, and your silver and your gold, for in case you were thinking, now I have to go and buy some cattle because probably God wants to multiply. No, God can touch your finances because he says, and your silver and your gold increase and all you have is multiplied. No, relax. I don't think he's talking about your children. Okay. I saw a couple of guys looking a bit stressed. Yeah, no. But if God wants to bless you with babies, it's a good thing. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce, wait for it, wealth. Look at your neighbor and say, I just heard some good news. God will give me the ability to produce wealth. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. If only your bank manager could hear that. Imagine the smile on his face. One of the things God wants to do is give you the ability to produce wealth. Not poverty. Not scraping the bottom of the barrel like he was saying. But the ability to produce wealth. And the only way for you to produce wealth is when everything you touch starts going in the right direction. Whether you do X or Y or Z, whether you're baking cookies or you're making clothes or you're doing telephone calls or whatever the case might be, God wants to bring your life to a place where you start producing wealth. Does that mean that we're all going to be millionaires? No, because we all have a different destiny. Please wrap your mind around that. What's good for one person is not necessarily good for another person. But within your calling, and within the destiny that God has put ahead of you, God wants you to be prosperous. Look at your neighbor and say, I choose to prosper.
I choose to prosper.
For that is my destiny.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people ask me, Rion, how do I know what my destiny is? The Bible says your destiny is to be prosperous. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. What is in your hope and what is in your future? Prosperity. Prosperity. You know, there's a lot of religious spirits in this world that tell us that it's actually very good when we don't have money. It's nice to be pious and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Rubbish. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. You know, if you choose not to have money, that's your decision. But the Bible says God is very happy for you to be blessed. And God, in fact, wants you to be blessed. Look at the next scripture. Psalm 115. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. Who does the earth belong to? You know, the devil might call himself the God of this world, but the earth belongs to? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, the earth belongs to me.
And you.
And what is in this earth? Come, think. What's in this earth? Millies. Millies. You know, that's not a bad answer, but you should just adjust your focus a little bit. You're seeing the color gold, but it's not millies, it's gold. In this earth, we have riches. Who does God want the riches to belong to? All right, now, just off the top of my head, when Satan was tempting Jesus, he took Jesus onto a mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their riches. And he said, this all belongs to me, and if you worship me, I'll give it to you. How many of you know that he's a liar? Because the Bible says it belongs to me and you. It does not belong to him. It belongs to you and it belongs to me. And it's time that we claim back what belongs to us. Because right now the thief is sitting with something that belongs, according to the word of God, to you. I've got some good news for you. You are wealthy. Let me put... I like that. You see, I chose the right one. But I've got even better news for you. You are exceedingly abundantly, above all you can ever ask, wish, hope, or dream, wealthy. Amen. Okay, so maybe you don't see it right now because the thief is running around with your fortune. The thief is running around with your gold and your silver. But that doesn't mean that you can't get it back. Listen to me. If it belongs to you and you can prove that it belongs to you, when the police catch the thief, they got to give it back to you, right? Guess what? We've got people like, or we've got beings like Gabriel and Michael. And there's a couple whose names I can't even pronounce, but they're patrolling and they're looking for work. And they need to work because the Bible says the angels of the Lord do God's bidding. Now, what does God want for you? Let's just recap. What does God want for you? God wants you to be prosperous. One of the ways that you're going to be prosperous is you're going to have to get to the thief that's running around with what legally belongs to you right now. And when you can catch him, they have to make sure that he gives you back what he's been stealing from you. I want to say something to you. You can get upset with me. But the devil has been stealing from every single one of us. Because right now he's laying claim to where all the finances. You know, the casinos have all the money. The drug dealers have all the money. The pimps have all the money. You name it, it's bad. They got lots. They're rolling in cash. But who does the wealth of the earth belong to? It belongs to you and me. Let me show you something. Psalm 115. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. The man that God is referring to here is the man who fears God. It's not just any man. It belongs to those who fear God, who put him first, who honor him, who glorify his name. Is there anybody in this place that can say, that speaks of me? The rest of you? I'm glad you came to church. I would love to pray for you tonight. Let me ask this question again. Is anybody in this place tonight that can say that I choose to honor God, I choose to glorify him, and I will serve him till the day I die? Anybody? Oh, that's much better. There we go. You know, the principality over Pretoria just fell off his chair. He's like, wow. That one's going to give me problems. Amen. Ah, there we go. I like that. So bless God. So who does the wealth of this earth belong to? Look at your neighbor and say, me.
Me.
But don't worry, you too. And I want to say something to you. With God, there's excess. With God, there's abundance. There's enough for all of us to go around. So don't be jealous of what I have, because you can have exactly what I have. In fact, you can have more than what I have and I won't even be upset. How's that? Bless God. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Bless God. You'll what?
I'll borrow their money. I'm rich now.
No, you don't have to borrow them. You've got so much you can give to them. Yeah, that's it. It's much better to give. All right, so the man that God is referring to in Psalm 115 is the man who fears the Lord. It's not the worldly man. It's not the evil man. It's not even the devil. But them that love God and choose to put him first. It's never God's will for man to be lacking. So I want to say something to you. Tonight, if you're sitting in this place and your life testifies of lack, then number one, it's not God's will. And number two, you can choose to do something about it. You can come before God and you can start righting a wrong. Amen? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are sitting with people that for their entire life they've been battling, they've been having lack and poverty and all sorts of rubbish, and they think that's just, you know what, that's just the life God called me to live. No, that's not biblical. That's not the life God called you to live. But if you don't do something about it, it's also not going to change. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can I tell you the number one reason why a lot of people are in bondage? Because they don't know the truth. And therefore they accept the lie of the enemy. This is just your life. These are the cards you were dealt. That's how your chips have fallen. Make peace with it. It's just the way it is. No, I don't have to make peace with it. I can challenge that thinking. I can challenge that reasoning because it's unscriptural. It's unbiblical. Why do I have to accept it? I don't. Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. No, sorry, Psalm 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about your life quickly. Where do you have lack? Where do you have lack? Give me something. Where do you have lack? Okay, in the work area you have lack. Where do you have lack? Lack. Shortage. Not enough. No, man, we're talking now about other things. Yeah, lack of knowledge, I agree. But give me something that you're lacking. Bucks. Bucks. Moolah. Cash. Cha-ching. There we go. Where do you have lack? In your bank account. There we go. Who has lack in their wallet? All right. Now you understand what we're talking about. Who's... food cupboard is a bit bare. You are on the end of the month's salty crack snack when the month begins. You know, it's like, anybody? Who of you, you squeeze every last milliliter out of your tank because you don't want to go and fill up right now because it's like a bit expensive. Okay, listen to what the Word of God says. Listen. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. What is God's heart for your food cupboard? It must be full. What's God's heart for your petrol tank? It must be full. Amen. What's God's heart for your bank account? Man, when you walk into that bank, the bank manager must come with a red carpet and he must just like, come. Excuse me, Mrs. Howard, you know, we're running a bit short. Yeah, do you think we could make a quick loan? That'll be great. And what's the terms of your interest? No interest. There we go. She's generous. She's very generous. But here's the thing. Listen carefully. Psalm 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Amen. No good thing. I don't care where you look at. I don't care what area or facet of your life you look at. God doesn't want you to have lack. Now, it doesn't just have to be physical. Yes, God doesn't want you to have a lack of knowledge. God doesn't want you to have a lack of peace. God doesn't want you to have a lack of joy. God doesn't want you to have a lack of pleasure. God doesn't want you to have a lack of unity. But God definitely doesn't want you to have a lack of prosperity. He wants you to be prosperous. God wants to bless us with abundance. Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. God wants you to feast from the abundance of His house. How many of you know that the word abundance can never be linked to lack in any way? Abundance means there's more than enough for everybody. I don't care what your need is right now. Some of you need 100,000. Some of you need 1,000,000. Some of you would probably be happy with 5 rand. Well, just adjust your visor a little bit. You know, stel jou visier 'n bietjie op. You need more. But the fact is, whatever you say tonight your need is, there's abundance. God will meet and exceed your need. And it's time for us to realize that this is what God wants for us. Can I tell you what is sometimes our biggest stumbling block? It's your mind and your thinking. Because a lot of us will be happy to just get by. I want to remind you of one of my favorite scriptures. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. If you only have the capacity to trust God for 100 rand, then don't be surprised if that's what you're going to get. God is talking about abundance. God is saying to you today, listen to me. God is saying to you today that in my house, there is abundance. No matter what you ask for, it's available. No matter what your need is, it is available. Okay, so now if I say to you, how many of you ever watched the DuckTales or read the Donald Duck comics when you were younger? I know the young people, they have no clue what I'm talking about now, but if you come from my era, probably you saw that. Did you ever see Scrooge McDuck swimming in his money vault? Diving and spitting out coins and tossing money around and having a feast. Now, I want you to have that image. That is available for you. I can see that you're smiling, but this is the real deal. There is abundance. There's no lack. Now, if I can put it to you that way, that God is able to supply exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ever hope, wish, dream, or ask, what do you want now? Do you still just want 100 rand? Will you still trust God just for the 5,000 rand a month to cover X, Y, or Z? So then what do you need? Give me a figure. Millions. Well, that sounds better. She's greedy. No, she's not. Now, listen to me carefully. I want you to understand something. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. If you right now are only trusting God for, Lord, please just give me enough to cover everything. That's your level of faith. God can't give you any more because according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. And your faith is there because you don't understand that God is able to give you 1,000 times more. And maybe it's time that you adjust your thinking about these things and start really, truly trusting God for more. Is there anybody in this place that believes that it's possible for them to start trusting God for more?
Yes.
Then put your hand in there and say this. Lord, please forgive me,
Lord, please forgive me.
For limiting you
with my tiny faith.
I plan on rectifying that. And I do so right now. In Jesus' name.
From this night on,
I plan.
I make a commitment
to start trusting you
for exceeding
and abundant
wealth
to manifest in my life.
I'm finished
with small thinking.
I'm finished
with little faith.
Now we trust you for big things.
In every area.
Your word gives me a promise.
I will lack no good thing.
So from today,
I choose
not to settle
for less
than prosperity
in every area of my life.
I call every spirit
of debt,
poverty,
lack,
famine,
destruction.
Listen carefully.
I won't listen to you anymore.
I've heard the truth.
And today,
I am set free.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. Now, let's think quickly. You know, for all those people that say that the blessings of God are spiritual and that we shouldn't be trusting God for finance, etc., etc. What was the first miracle Jesus did? Who can help me? He turned water into wine. What was the need of those people? Did they need more peace?
Well, everybody can do with a bit more peace, but that wasn't the most pressing need that they had right there. Let me explain something to you. You know, in those days, things worked a little bit different. A wedding could last for 7 to maybe even 10 days. And you, as the bridegroom, had to make sure that you could supply whatever needs your guests had for, let's say, a time period of 10 days. Now, you all know what it costs to get married today. Okay, probably some of you've been married for like 40 years or 50 years, so you haven't got the foggiest idea, but it really is a scary thing because people are forking out hundreds of thousands of rands. What are you smiling about? Do you know something about this? Yes, you do, don't you? They're getting married in a couple of weeks' time, so they know. But it's not cheap, it's expensive. It's expensive to get married. And you're going to have a one-day affair, am I right? Imagine if you had to multiply what you're forking out now by 10. Do you understand how scary that? Look at this. Okay, he was getting ready to run away now. I was like, man, what are you thinking? All right, now, just to give you an idea, back then, it was a big thing. And I'll tell you why it was a big thing. Because back then, society worked a little bit differently. If you could not supply, if you ran out, that was like a blot on your name. It was enough for you to be turned into a social outcast. You will never be invited to anybody's house for cook and tea again. Do you understand? Now, here's what's happening. This guy, he's invited a lot of people, and somewhere along the line, there was a miscalculation. I don't think it was a fact of not preparing well or not having enough money because they had to make sure that they have it, but probably somewhere along the line, somebody miscalculated, or maybe the guests just drank a lot. I don't know. Maybe they were from Springs. Go figure. But anyway. Yeah, I'm only joking, eh? I'm only joking. So they come to, let's say, day 4 or day 5 or whatever it might be, and suddenly this one servant comes running to the bridegroom and he says, listen, yeah, we got a problem. Don't bother me with problems. Come to me with solutions. Well, I don't know what to say to you, but we've ran out of wine. Oops. Now they realize, we got problems. Because from this moment on, we will be social outcasts. People are going to curse and spit on our name, and this is a destruction because my life with my new wife is just starting, and I've ruined everything. We won't even be welcome in this community anymore. And then probably his mother realizes, oh, you know what? We got somebody, Jesus. Or maybe she didn't even realize that. She just goes and speaks to Mary, Jesus' mother. It's like, oh, we got big problems. There's not enough wine. We're going to run out within the next 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know what to do. And Mary, realizing who her son is, goes to him and says, listen, yeah, please, these people are battling. You know what's going to happen when they run out of wine. Is there any way that you can make a plan? What does Jesus do? He tells them to go and take the big crips that they used to use for washing up. They can handle something like a couple of thousand liters of water. He says, fill them and give it to the wine taster. And these people probably thought he was crazy, but Mary said to them, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. How many of you know that that's faith? Mary had faith. Probably the guy that did it thought she's crazy, but because this weird woman tells him to do it, he's going to do it anyway. But Mary had faith. She said, whatever he says, do it. And then when they took it to the wine taster to taste, guess what? He looked at the guy and he said to him, oh, what on earth is going on here? You know, normally we give the good wine, and then later when everybody's sozzled and they don't know what they're drinking, we give them the cheap stuff. But you've been giving us the cheap stuff and now you give us the good stuff. All right. Jesus did turn the water into wine. That's prosperity. And that is God meeting a need. A financial need. Do you think that your circumstances are any different from this person that God helped 2,000 years ago? Can you give me one good reason why God would want to bless him and not bless you? There's no difference. The difference is somebody this day had some faith, which is something that most of us tend to lack most of the times. It's time for us to have faith. It's time for us to understand that God doesn't have a problem taking care of us and blessing us, because if God doesn't bless you, there's going to be no blessing in your life. All blessings, all good things come from God. Your bank balance, God is involved. What's in your petrol tank? God is involved. But sometimes we make God this big with the way we look at life. God is bigger than anything. Say to your neighbor, God is bigger than my problem. Now remember that. God is bigger than your problem. Does God have a problem providing for you? What you should be taking from the first miracle is that miracles are not just linked to people being healed. Miracles are not just linked to people's eyes being opened. The very first miracle that God did, and why this is so important, is because for 1,000 years there had been no miracles. Now, God bursts back on the scene. Jesus walks the earth. The anointing and the power of the living God, the sovereign God, is upon his life. What's the best way for him to stage a comeback? And I don't mean that in a belittling way. I just want to get you to understand what's going on here. He's coming back. God is walking for the first time amongst men. What's the first miracle that he's going to do? It's simple. A financial one. Hello? He could have walked into a synagogue where there was 50 lame people and he could have healed all of them. But he didn't do that. He could have walked into a place where there was 10 blind people and healed all of them. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He didn't walk into a place where there was, like, you know, walk into some place where there was like a whole bunch of mad people and just wave his finger and all the demons jumped out of them and they all walked out saying. He could have, but he didn't. He started with a financial miracle. Can I tell you why? Because that's the greatest need that most people have right now, is a financial breakthrough. If he did it then, he'll do it now. Look at your neighbor and say, if he did it then, he'll do it now. He'll do it now. Jesus once said to the disciples, when the Son of God returns, will he still find faith on the earth? So today we have to ask the same question. Do we still have faith? Yeah, I can't answer for you. Probably that's something that you need to ask yourself. But I want to say something to you. It's not that difficult to have faith. You must start expecting the unexpected. You must start challenging your thinking. Stop thinking small and start thinking bigger. Stop thinking like, oh Lord, you know what, if I just have 100 rand, no Lord, please, I need 20,000. Can I tell you what's going to be good when you have the 20,000 or you have the 50 or the 100,000? Then you can start blessing other people. And the more you give, the more you will receive. Because as you sow, so you will reap. Start trusting God for more so that you can do more. Become involved in the kingdom of God. Because the blessings that come when you sow into the kingdom of God are greater than what your mind can comprehend. If we all bless trusting God to have just enough to survive, then our hands are chopped. The book of Proverbs says, one man gives, but he receives even more. The Lord loves it when we give. The devil wants you to be that person that trusts God for just enough. Because God cannot use you. You know, sometimes when God does a financial miracle, he does it through people. You cannot be the person that is involved in a financial miracle for somebody else if you yourself don't, you know, look, I don't even know where I'm going to get money from. So start trusting God for a lot more. Then you can bless the kingdom. You can bless God. You can bless people. And you will quickly realize that as you sow, you reap. What you put into the ground is going to come out. And the blessings will come more and more and more. I think I'm going to have to stop here. I have 7 pages to go through and I'm only on the bottom of page 1. So probably that's a good time for me to stop. But I want to say something to you. If you came here tonight and you are desperate, if you came here tonight and you really need a miracle, then I want to say to you, you did come to the right place. Because God is in the house. And what he did for that woman and what he did for that young man, listen, yeah, God is able to do it for you too. And tonight we're going to trust God to set people free. Tonight maybe what we need to do is we need to pray for people's thinking. We need to pray for that thing. You know what? A lot of people battle with this thing, I am not worthy. That's a big thing that the devil tells us. Are you not worthy? You know, yes, I can understand God did it for so-and-so because they're good people. But you come from a bad background. No, that's ridiculous. God doesn't think that way. The devil thinks that way. And if you think that way, then you're playing the devil's game. Then he will always mess with you. He'll always be busy stealing from you. It's time for us to put our foot down and take back what the thief has stolen from us. Amen. Amen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Amen. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. All right. Where's Eugene? Would you call him for us, please? Yes, we're going to. Here's what we're going to be doing next week. We're going to be talking about God's heart to prosper you. Why? Because you need to hear it. I want to end off by saying this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Your understanding of God's truth concerning certain areas in your life determines the level of freedom that you will have in that area. If you only know a little bit, you can only be free to a little extent. If you know a lot, you can be a lot freer in that area. So come, receive the word of God, receive the truth, and see how the truth will set you free. Amen. Amen.